I'm Larry O'Connor alongside Brian Wilson.
And joining us on the line right now is Susan Ferriccio, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the Washington Examiner, good friend of this program. Good morning to you, Susan. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, listen, there's a decision that's been made on Capitol. That's why we wanted to have you here today, about taking some votes in the Senate on gun control measures. And initially it was talked about, we're going to have no fly, no buy. If you're on the no-fly list, you shouldn't be able to buy. But that seems to have fallen by the wayside, and a couple of proposals are emerging, and there's going to be a series of votes. Give us the lowdown on what we can look forward to in these measures when they come up for a vote on Monday.
Right. So you described it pretty well. There are going to be four votes. One of them is sort of similar to a no-fly, no-buy sponsored by Dianne Feinstein of California, and it would allow the federal government to block gun sales to people who they feel are a terror threat or who have been on the watch list within the past 5 years. So that would cover somebody like, supposedly would cover somebody like Omar Mateen, who had been on the federal watch list but then came off it when they found there was no more reason to investigate him.
And basically, so, the Attorney General is involved in this process, right?
That's right. And it would give them the authority to do it. It's not an automatic blocking of anyone on the list. I think it gives them the power to go back to people who were once on the list and are no longer on it. And so that would cover, I guess, some of the gaps that people think led to Omar Mateen being able to get those two weapons before the Orlando shooting. So that's the main bill. Now, there's an alternative to that sponsored by Senator Cornyn of Texas that would impose a 72-hour wait. And that would put the onus on the federal government to prove that the person buying the gun shouldn't be buying that gun. And if they couldn't do that within 72 hours, then the person would be able to make purchase.
And in other words, if you had 72 hours, you have to go to court and make your case, right?
Correct. Or it would pass and you would be able to buy the gun. And so the Republican proposal by Cornyn is one that they feel allows due process and Second Amendment rights to prevail. And the Democratic proposal leans on the side of safety, that would give the federal government an easier time blocking these gun purchases. They're two competing measures, and they are both likely to fail.
So neither one of them will get 60 votes.
That's correct. There's a 60-vote threshold in the Senate, and each side is kind of dug in with their proposal. Now, there'll be some crossover. We've had so many of these horrible mass shootings, and it's an election year, and you're going to see some crossover with some Republicans. And some Democrats, and there always is with gun votes. But, you know, this is not always a partisan issue, you guys. This can be a regional issue, depending on what state you're from. But it's likely these two will fail. There are two other pieces of legislation that will also be voted on, one that would expand background checks to include some online purchases, transfers, gun shows. That's probably going to go down pretty easily. That's not going to pass. And then a competing measure to that would provide incentives for states to try to bolster that background check system and to prosecute people who violate the background check system. That's the competing Republican measure to that, and it will probably fail because Republicans feel it, Democrats rather, don't like it because it doesn't expand the background check. So each of these measures competes with the other, and because of that, you know, it becomes a little bit partisan, and both are not going to. None are going to pass, basically.
Can you flesh out these waiting periods a little bit further for us in terms of what triggers? Is this a waiting period for anyone purchasing any type of gun or just specific weapons? Or is it only if someone happens to be cross-referenced against some list? You know, yesterday it was all about no-fly, no-buy on the no-fly list, or was it the terrorist watch list? Are we done with lists?
Yeah, you know what? Everyone keeps talking about this no-fly list, and it's actually not the no-fly list. It's much broader than that.
Susan, let's be specific. Yeah. When you say everyone's talking about the no-fly list, it's the administration and the Democrats and the media who are pushing it. They're the ones who are calling it the no-fly list when, in fact, it is a much wider list than the no-fly list. I just wanted to be clear on that.
That's right, and there's upwards of a million people on that list. There are people on the list who really don't belong there. I mean, I heard callers into your show yesterday. Their 10-year-old son was on the list. You know,
right.
So anyway, that people can end up on this list, and it's difficult to get off it, and then you get put back on it. And so the idea here is that it's a very expansive list. It's a secret list. It's got problems. There have been investigations into the list where this error-prone, very error-prone. And so people who are, you know, guardians of the Second Amendment are saying that this is just another way to really infringe on someone's right to buy a gun.
But is the idea, we know all the arguments, is the idea of the list dead now, or is it still in play in these proposed bills?
Oh, no, it's very much in play, because the Feinstein legislation and the Cornyn legislation deal with this federal watch list. And, in fact, let me say that the Feinstein legislation goes further, because what she wants to do is get at people who are just under investigation or considered a threat. So a threat to public safety is the way it's defined in her legislation. You don't even have to be on a list. And so it's pretty broad. And
yeah.
If you give the federal government the authority to stop you, it wouldn't be automatic. But it does give them the power to do that. And I think that makes a lot of Republicans nervous, because, you know, who makes those decisions? And you are dealing with the right to own a gun, which is in the Constitution. And people say that should put the onus on the government to prove their case before they're able to do that.
Well, at least in the Cornyn measure, you got the Attorney General. So not every case is going to go to the Attorney General. Only, I would guess, the most important cases that they're concerned about. 72-hour delay. And then if they don't prove their case in a court, then you can go ahead and purchase the weapon. But the interesting thing about this to me is you say that none of this is going to pass. So why are we doing it?
Well, we're doing it because on Monday, Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut held the Senate floor for 15 hours to push gun control and to push the idea that there needs to be more done to rein in gun purchases so that we can stop these mass shootings. Now, there's the whole argument that buying guns is not the problem, that it's terrorism, that it's, you know, other issues. And so I think that the debate on Capitol Hill has become, why don't we deal with this issue of terrorism? And then the Democrats are saying, we really need to turn this into a gun issue, a gun control issue. And that's where the two sides come down right now, Capitol Hill. Now, there was an important spending bill on the floor, and Democrats said, basically, we're just going to keep talking and talking and talking. And they can do that under the Senate rules until you give us a vote on our gun control legislation. Republicans said, okay, we'll let you vote on your bills, but we're going to put our alternatives on the floor. And that's why you have this lineup of four votes, two on the Democratic side, two on the Republican side. I think they'll come down on very familiar lines. They're all likely to fail. But I do feel like we've had a long and sad series of mass shootings, and that there may be at some point, you know, I think the door is cracked open for a real compromise. They're not ready to do it right now because each side is dug in. You know, Democrats aren't willing to compromise either at all.
Well, it's a lot of election year sound and fury, which doesn't signify much.
That's correct. But I do think that the door is cracked open. There's some other lawmakers talking about proposals that really would be a middle ground and offer more due process for people on that list if there were a delay or prohibition of buying guns. I think that could happen down the road. Not maybe at this moment, but you do get the sense on Capitol Hill that people are feeling the pressure with these mass shootings that something needs to happen because, you know, the public, if you look at the polls, you know, you see 70-80% of people think, hey, why aren't we stopping terrorists from buying guns? Because they see it in very simple terms.
Right. Well, we're going to have to leave it right there, Susan. But listen, I really appreciate the download and all of the background. Important stuff happening. But again, apparently, as you say, none of it is going to pass. All right. Thanks, Susan.